Go ahead and turn, if you haven't already, to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Now I'm going to ask you, if you are able, to please stand, since these words come to us in the authority of King Jesus. So follow along, if you would. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Heavenly Father, would you give us the ability to see spiritually this morning? See these words as you would have us see them. Would you give us the ability to understand these words? And would you give us the ability to live by these words? May we be obedient, Lord Jesus. Compel us to obedience. Would you guard our minds this morning? Would you take away any distraction this morning? And may all that's said this morning bring you glory. And would you work for our good? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The last couple of months, we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has been teaching the crowds and his disciples something very different than what they have heard about religion and about righteousness, and as we'll see this morning, about money. We're all tempted to be blinded by what money can offer. We're blinded by the comfort, we're blinded by the security and the power that it seems to give us, even when we want to do good things with money. It controls how we think and how we act. It controls decisions that we make. It controls what we dream about. Jesus wants to caution us in this passage this morning that the love of money is bad. Not that money is bad. Money has the potential to do great things for the kingdom, but it can also, when we love money, it can potentially be very deadly to our hearts. And so to help us kind of process this passage, we're going to ask three questions that really come right out of the text. Number one, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Number two, how is your vision? How is your vision? And number three, who are you serving? Who are you serving? So first, where is your treasure? Verses 19 through 21 again. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here Jesus tells his disciples and tells us, do not lay up, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. To lay up means to stash away, to hoard, to accumulate, or stockpile lots of things. If you remember, at the end of the last century, 1999 rolled around, lots of people were stockpiling things. You remember why they were stockpiling things? Y2K was rolling around, so what? People were building storm shelters, and they were stockpiling beef jerky and all of these things. Spam. And I'm not, if you were one of those people, I'm not coming down on you for doing that, but those things are temporary things. And what Jesus is trying to get across, Jesus knows our hearts, and he knows when we begin to hoard things, to accumulate things. I mean, we're all prone to do that. We're all prone to accumulate treasures on earth. You know, we're a people who love stuff. You know, we're all people who we have to have, you know, whatever it is for you, you've got to have more than one of that thing. And sometimes two things, that's not enough either. You've got to have 3, 5, 10 of those things. I don't know, maybe it's a tool, or maybe it's shoes. Whatever it is, it's just, that's just, we're prone to do that. As who we are, as the human heart. I mean, I'm not super materialistic, but when a new, you know, technology gadget comes out, I'm like a giddy little geek, and I got to have it. It's just the way our heart works, and in some way, we're just bent towards that. So what's so bad about storing treasures up here on earth? Am I saying that all earthly treasures are evil? No, that's not what I'm saying. Clothes and cars and houses and trophies, little gadgets, they're not in and of themselves evil. But they're temporary. Notice, again, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. The problem with storing up treasures here on earth is that they don't last. They're temporary. They've got a bad return on investment. Shirts and shoes, dresses, they get holes in them. They go out of style. Cars, they break down and eventually they end up in a junkyard somewhere. Our houses, they mess up, and we constantly are having to fix up things in our houses. Everything that we have, everything that we accumulate, they're trophies. I'm not even going to get into trophies that they eventually end up in the trash can somewhere. You know, all of these, they're not bad things. They may be good things that we spent time working towards, but they're temporary things. And Jesus knows that these sort of things, if we pursue these things, they're tied directly to our hearts. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whenever the scriptures use the word heart, it's talking about the spiritual part of us that directs our minds, and directs our affections, directs our desires. It's sort of like the control center for our life, for our lives. And what Jesus is saying is that what we treasure, what we spend our time on, what we spend efforts toward, what we focus on, whatever that is, that's where our treasure is. And because of that, that's where our heart is going to be. John D. Rockefeller, famous billionaire, was once asked, how much money is enough? And his response was, just one more dollar. And that's the deceitfulness of riches. Just one more. It's not just that it's temporary. It's not just that our hearts are tied to it, but it leads our hearts away from Christ. Listen to what Timothy, or what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, most of us will hear that and we will respond and say, well, Jason, that doesn't really, you know, it doesn't apply to me. I don't want to be filthy, dirty, rich. I don't love money, Jason. Okay, well, maybe you don't want to be rich. Maybe you don't love money, but all of us are tempted to love what money brings, what money can do for us. You know, we love the fact that money can bring security. We love the fact that money can bring us comfort. We love the peace that it gives us. You know, we love the hope it brings. We love the fact that it relieves pressure in our families. And even if we don't think ourselves to be materialistic people, we can find ourselves talking about and thinking about and dreaming about what money can do for us. Deceitful. None of us are above that. And so we have to guard our hearts. That's why verse 10 in that passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and through this craving some have wandered away from the faith." That's one of the ways that we begin to wander away from the faith. One of the ways that we take our eyes off of Christ and Him being all that we need and all that's worthy of our time and attention, our devotion, our affection. And we begin to believe the little lies that we hear of what money can give us, what money can bring us. And Jesus says, don't chase after that shadow because you're never going to catch it. It's just an illusion. That's what he means when he says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Therefore, verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." So in contrast, the earthly treasures, Jesus says, there's a type of treasure that cannot be destroyed. There's a place that you can invest in that's never going to decrease in value. A storage house that's never going to be broken into. 1 Peter 1:4 that I read for our call to worship this morning. He says, "We have an inheritance that is imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading, kept in heaven for you." Jesus says, store your treasures in heaven. Okay, Jason, well, that sounds pretty good. Let's store our treasures in heaven, but how in the world do you do that? What are you talking about? Jesus says, store your treasures in heaven. Okay, if I knew how to do that, I would do that. So what does it mean for us to store up treasure in heaven? Well, for us as Christians, if you're a believer, if you follow Jesus this morning, it's actually quite simple. It ultimately has to do with the posture of your heart and why we do what we do. It speaks to the motivation of your heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's wrapped up in ultimately what we're hoping in, what we're trusting in. Basically, what it comes down to is that everything we do, we're doing with the mindset, Lord, I am doing this for your pleasure. I'm doing this for your purposes. Everything that I'm doing, Lord, it's all about you. My life is about you. Everything I think, everything I do, everything I say is about you. So we approach work not what can I do so that I can get me a fatter paycheck, or what can I do so that I can get this promotion. Instead, I'm approaching work, Lord, how can I be faithful here with what you've entrusted with me to do? I'm going to do everything here in this place where you have placed me, you've given me this job, God. What can I do for the glory of God? There's a big difference. And I'm in this to get more money, or I'm in this to make much of Jesus. It speaks to our motivation. Same thing with raising kids. I mean, So instead of putting efforts into, what can I do? How can I pour into my kids so that they can get into the best school, or I can get them into college, or so that they can get this next big thing, or whatever it is. I'm trying to make my child the greatest athlete, and they're going to hit they're going to pound that baseball, or that softball, or that soccer. I'm going to make whatever it is that you're saying, this is what I want my kids to be about. Instead of that, understand that what it means to store treasures in heaven, that I'm going to live and I'm going to parent for the glory of God by teaching my kids who God is, why God created them, why we're here, what's the purpose that God has placed me here for. And yes, I'm going to do that so that they could be the best and do the best where they are, but I'm doing it so that they would bring glory to God. And I'm going to parent for the glory. There's a big difference in that. So everything we do, we're doing it not so we can look at it in a selfish way, what can I get out of it, or what can my kids get out of it, but how can we do this for the glory of God? I mean, it speaks to the motivation of our heart. And so we have to ask ourselves, where is our treasure? Is it in what people think about us? Is it in what I'm wearing, or what sort of things I can amass and accumulate? Is it in my comfort or the security that money brings me? Is it in, what is it in? Where is your treasure? Which leads to our second question. How's your vision? The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, and your whole body is going to be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And so in these verses, Jesus is using this physical example to teach us a spiritual lesson. Basically, what he's asking is, are you seeing reality rightly? At first glance, you know, you read those two verses, and it may seem a little confusing. But watch what he says. The eye is a lamp for the body. So if your physical eye is what allows you to internalize the external world, so you're seeing and you're experiencing the external world, your eye takes in what you see. It brings it into your mind. It brings it into your heart, into your body. So it's through the eyes that we know reality. And so the eye is a lamp, Jesus says. And if the eye is healthy, he's saying we have like 20/20 vision. We're seeing things clearly. We're seeing reality rightly. And the result of that is that the body is going to be healthy. Your heart is clear. Your motivations are clear. You're able to understand and discern how you should see money and how you should view your job and how you should view your family. You'll be generous with what God's given you. But verse 23 says, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the physical eye is bad, think about your physical eye, you can't see rightly. Some people, as they get older, they get these things called cataracts, and they do not allow you to see clearly. You see cloudy, and that's what Jesus is talking about. We can't see how we're handling the things that God's given us rightly. And that's what he means. But if your eye is bad, you can't see the way you're using these things. It makes it hard to see. And so Jesus says that some people have this spiritual, sinful cataract of greed and selfishness, and loving, and accumulating treasures that aren't going to last. And so their vision's cloudy. They're not seeing things rightly. And the only thing worse than that is the very last part of verse 23. The only worse thing than not seeing rightly is thinking that you are seeing rightly when you're not. And what the end of verse 23 says? If then the light in you is really darkness, how great is the darkness? In other words, you're deceived. You think you have a right view of money. You think that you have the right motivation. But in reality, the way your life looks is the complete opposite. You're blinded. You think I'm living the right way. You think I'm handling these things the right way. But really, I'm not. You're blind. You can't see really. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Because something else besides Jesus has a hold of your heart and you don't realize it. Well-known pastor, theologian, Jonathan Edwards, he once prayed this: Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Stamp eternity on my... Allow me to have an eternal mindset. Lord, do that for us, Lord, so that we would see things rightly. Help our vision to be good so that light is coming in and that my heart would know truth and that I would not be deceived. May we pray those types of prayers. Lord, help us to see lost people the way you see lost people. Lord, help us to see our heart the way you see our heart. Lord, stamp eternity on our eyeballs. How is your vision? The third question, it comes from this text: who are you serving? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so, in that verse, Jesus makes this bold statement about allegiance. You cannot serve two masters. The word master there is the same word for Lord. Jesus says you can only have one Lord. You can't have two masters. You can't have two lords. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both popularity and God. You cannot serve both God and your family. You cannot have this other thing, whatever it might be in your life, and God. You cannot do that. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have these other things. But it means that you see those things in its proper order. That Jesus is the master of your life, and because of that, everything else falls into its rightful place. It's got to be very clear about who rules in your life. Crystal clear in your heart, in your life, that Jesus is Lord, because that's going to determine what I do in my family. That's going to determine what I do with my money that he's already, you know, he's the one that's given me that. I'm just the steward of what he's given me. And so if he's Lord, then that's going to determine what I do with it. He determines how I live my life in the workplace, how I live my life in my neighborhood, my community. He determines everything. It's what it means that he is master or Lord. Jesus says you're going to be devoted to one or the other. You can't have it both ways. To be devoted means that you cling to. You cannot serve, cannot cling to, cannot listen to, cannot love both God and money. You say, well, why not? Because a master demands absolute allegiance. It's just the definition of master and Lord. They demand absolute allegiance. You can't have both. A master determines my time and the attention that I give, the devotion that I give. And Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and money because both want all of you. And Jesus says, we need to be really careful because money's going to promise you that if you serve it, if you allow it to master you, then what it's going to tell you is that you can have both. Oh, you can serve the Lord, but man, look at all this other stuff that money can get you. And that's the deceptiveness, the deceitfulness of the love of money. It's going to promise, you'll be cared for. You'll be financially secure. And Jesus says, no. I want your attention, your complete, undivided attention. I want your complete, undivided affection, your devotion. Serve me as Lord, as Master. You cannot serve two masters. And Jesus knows that because he knows that our hearts can't handle it. Can't handle it. So as we wrap up this section, what do we do? If you're here this morning and you are not a follower of Jesus, you're not a Christian this morning, you sit here and you hear all this talk about eternity and Jesus and about God and about money, and I would just encourage you, as we're getting closer to Christmas, just consider who Jesus is. Just go to the Word and consider who Jesus is, what he claims to be, what he's done, what Scripture says he's done. Just consider who Jesus is. Because Jesus says that the reason he came and died on a cross was to be a substitute for every single person who has committed a sin. And that is every single person who has ever lived. Jesus came to be a substitute for you and for me, for those who have turned from God and chased after different things other than God. He died for sin. He rose from the dead. And now he says, turn to me. Trust in me. Would you consider Jesus this Christmas season? And if you say, I believe who he is. I understand what Scripture has to say. I want to trust him. Then what he says is repent and believe. Trust him. Turn from your sin. Turn from yourself and turn to him and trust him. Cry out to him, Lord, save me. And he will. There is no special prayer. There is nothing special you have to do but cry out to him in faith, believing that he will save you, that he will forgive you. He's already done everything that needs to be done for that to happen. Just cry out to him. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you hear me say all of these things, you say, well, Jason, maybe I have been loving money. Then we need to repent. We need to turn from it. Money can be a great tool for the kingdom, but it will kill the heart if we love it. If we love it more than Jesus, it will kill the heart. And so we need to repent. We need to turn from our love of money and turn to Jesus. Confess that before God and ask him to forgive you. Go to other brothers and sisters and talk to them about it. Ask them to come alongside you and help you. Maybe you have problems with finances, and maybe you need to go to somebody and say, look, I know that you're good with finances. Would you help me with my finances? We need to humble ourselves to one another and accept help. First, admit we need help, and then accept help from people who can give it. May our hearts treasure Jesus. He promises here, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. May our hearts and our treasure be with Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would make us a people who trust your word, who believe your word, cling to your word. Lord, not because we just want life to work out for us, but because, God, you're worthy of our lives. God, help us to believe that there truly is a trade-off in this world. We're either for you or we're against you, that you're either master, Lord, or not. And God, if we have been trying to love both, Lord, just stop us where we are. Give us hearts that are thankful for your grace, and that we would love your mercy, and that we would trust that whatever you have for us is so much better than anything we could build up, accumulate for ourselves. What you have is infinitely better. God, give us hearts that love you more than anything else. Give us hearts that truly believe that you are the great treasure. Would you work in our lives this morning? It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Church, would you stand and respond as the Lord leads this morning?